It'll set a volume here every day. It takes on a new significance because if you record the classes, and indeed if you're here, everyone's here, you can be one person in the room, and everyone hears about it. So it's indeed a very interesting new take on Hillel's statement. Anyway, let's begin. Good morning, sir. I wanted today make three statements for the 3 weeks on what I believe is what we need during this period of time. And that is much more senseless love than senseless hate. As we said on Sunday, the Gemara in Maseches Yoma, Daf Tet Amud Bet, tries to find a reason for why God destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash is sort of a no-brainer because there were Nevi'im that came along and said, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, God's going to basically destroy the Beis HaMikdash and put you into Golos. But still the Gemara says it was because of Gilui Arayot, Shfichus Damim, and Avodah Zarah, the three cardinal sins. But Bayit Sheni is more of a tougher, complex question because there were no Nevi'im during Bayit Sheni. So there was no direct conduit to God, and therefore we didn't know why God destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara asks, what happened over Bayit Sheni? And the Gemara answers, of course, the famous answer that you all know. What was the answer?
Senseless hatred.
Senseless hatred or Then the Gemara basically sort of assumes a question that it doesn't ask, but it is a question, and that is, the first Beis HaMikdash has three cardinal sins, and the second Beis HaMikdash has A, one sin, and B, not a cardinal sin. In other words, if a goy comes to you, puts a gun to your head and says, hate that Jew, I'm going to kill you. I don't know, in my version of Maseches Sanhedrin, it's right for that. You can hate him. But the Gemara then basically assumes your question and answers, well, Amedcha, Sheshkulas Dinat Chinam, Keneged Gilui HaRayot Shvichut Damim V'Avodah Zarah. That senseless hatred is on the same level as the three cardinal sins. So that one sin equals three sins. And since we today are basically almost 2,000 years since that senseless hatred, came along Rav Kook and said that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of senseless hatred, and the way to rebuild the third Beis HaMikdash is through senseless love. So allow me this morning to talk about three ideas of senseless love that I believe we need during these 3 weeks. Bruce.
Senseless hatred could imply, you know, factionalism. Just disunion among Jews. So we have to have a spiritual reason. You know, there's a war that took place. The Jews lost. Obviously, if they're factionalized and broken up into groups and they can't unite, whether it's senseless hatred or reasonable hatred. I mean, the Jews
I disagree. I don't want to go into it now, but I just factionalism, or to be more precise, having different views, is the way it's always been and the way it's always going to be. In other words, diversity is an element that's put into the halacha and the very fabric of Jewishness. Two proofs to what I say. Number one, when the Jewish people were founded, there were 12 shvatim, 12 tribes. Why didn't God just say one tribe? Jewish. Israel. Put us into 12 tribes. According to the Medrash, when we went through Yamsuf, we were divided into 12 tribes. We don't need the Medrash. When we sat in the Midbar around the Mishkan, we were in our tribe. We didn't just live together, Jewish people, happy clappy. The tribes. So I believe, and in the future, Yechezkel says, there will still be tribes. We're going to divide up Israel into the various tribes. Each one will have a nachala. Each one will have its own inheritance. And this leads me to believe that indeed diversity is lechatchila. Second proof, the Magen Avraham at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah says there's 12 ways to get to God, and indeed each nusach another way to get to God, meaning they're all legitimate. So I don't believe that factionalism per se is seen as chinah.
Some of the 12 tribes, ideally, if they work together, obviously each one has its own strength that's needed in the group when they're united. But from the very beginning, the 12 tribes do not function well together, almost from the very beginning. Even in the house of Yaakov, they don't function well.
Correct. And they don't function well together. That's not the way. I don't think it's B'di'evit at all. If it was B'di'evit, how come in the future we're going to divide up Israel into 12 nachalot? Make it all, we all live together, we're all Jewish, finished.
Okay, let's take it from the other point of view, where Hashem feels that the tribes cannot live together, therefore let's separate them and give them each their own piece of land. Okay, that, I mean,
where does God say that?
But you think you're dividing it?
But where does God say that? Where does God ever say that the 12 tribes were because they couldn't live together?
But let's think of a reasoning of why you would want, why bother dividing the land?
The reason is that God does not want, in my opinion, again, I don't know what God thought, but it never says anywhere that God divided the land because we couldn't get along.
No, I realize that, I mean, sometimes the best relatives are the ones that are 100 miles away, as opposed to next door. So maybe that's the kind of philosophy they need here.
I think that it's an interesting interpretation. But if you look in this week's Parsha, Parsha Pinchas, where God says that you have to divide up the land, never once does it say that, you don't get along.
Well, it doesn't give
I know you people.
At all.
And that's exactly it. It doesn't give a reason.
So, you have to come to your
so therefore, if it doesn't get a reason, this leads me to believe that the 12 tribes being divided up is not a punishment, and it's not the best of an evil, but rather this is in the intention of l'chatchila. Now, why? I don't know why. I'm going to give an interpretation, diversity is good. You may disagree with that interpretation. But God never says it's a negative. Now, I want to make it clear that if God wanted it to be a negative, He would have said so. He would have said, it's negative. God doesn't make negative statements sometimes in the Torah. God said, I allow you to eat meat. Why? Because you're evil. Right after the Mabul. Mm-hmm. End of Sefer Devarim. A lot of things God says, I know you people, you're going to sin. So you could have said, you people can't get along, all the way from Yaakov's house till today, dividing up the land.
So why did we dismiss this whole way of living by the second temple period? They could have maintained their Spartan status.
So I'd like this morning to speak about what I believe is a version of senseless hatred that we have today. That, in my opinion, began in the second temple and continues. See, I have not yet met a Jew that says I hate another Jew. Meaning, if he thinks it, he doesn't say it. So I'm assuming that he doesn't think it. And even if he thinks it, I don't know what's in the minds of Jews. I want to introduce three different poskim. Great at the same thing. Lithuanian, Hasidic, and Sfaradi. All said the same thing. Let's start with the Tzanzer Rebbe. Have you heard of the Tzanzer Rebbe? The Chaim from Tzanz?
In the Tzanzer.
So this is his descendant is the one in the Tanya. Rav Chaim from Tzanz, the Divrei Chaim, was a great posek. Was someone that was not just a Hasidic Rebbe, but a posek mukhak, Hasidic Rebbe, that says the following statement. I have always maintained that everyone has to listen to the tzaddikim in their generation. Hasidic Rebbe, you have to listen to the tzaddikim. But I'll tell you what gets me upset. The Hasidim that think that only their tzaddik knows what he's talking about, and all the rest of the world are talking garbage.
Did he say that?
Yes. Many people today believe that their way is correct, which means your way is idiotic. Your way is moronic. Your way makes no sense. It's me, my way, or the highway. And the Tzanzer Rebbe, who's a Hasidic Rebbe. And as you know, as Hasidic Rebbe goes, no one second guesses a Hasidic Rebbe in his own court. He says, this is not the right thinking. We have a Masorah of Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. There's a Beit Shammai and there's a Beit Hillel. And ultimately, they all are representing a version of God. And it's wrong to think that way. Then a Sefer Volozhin. Volozhin. Lithuania, par excellence. The Nasif from Volozhin says in his introduction to one of the books of the Chumash where he wrote a Feirush, the very same thing. Sinas Chinam from the Churban Bayit Sheni till today also means that it's my way or the highway. And finally, very interesting, the Yabes. The Yabes was a Sfaradi, born in Palma de Mallorca, left Palma de Mallorca, eventually ended up in other places, but obviously his hometown is always in his mind. He writes an Igeret, a beautiful, in his Chuvot, beautiful letter to the Mallorca community, And he says to them in a very nice way.
Where was that?
Palma de Mallorca is in Spain. It's a beautiful island. Today it's a resort beyond. Gorgeous. I was there for Rosh Hashanah last year. So that's why I have a certain relationship to the place. And he says like this. He says, you guys, I shouldn't be telling you bikoret. I shouldn't be telling you tochecha. I shouldn't be reprimanding. I don't know how to reprimand today. No one knows how to reprimand according to Gemara and Archin. But if I don't reprimand, it might happen to me. So therefore, I have to do it. And he says, you people know that the reason why the community was destroyed was because of sinat chinam. It was because of senseless hatred. And what are you guys doing today? The same thing. And if you do the same thing will happen. And you have to get along. And he talks about the leaders of the community. Namely, this guy hates that guy. And when he talks about the leaders, you start getting the same kind of nuance. Namely, the leaders are saying it's my way or the highway. In my opinion, during these 3 weeks, the first thing we have to do is to start saying to each other that diversity is a healthy and wonderful thing. There were 12 shvatim. There's different nuschaot atfilah, the Magen Avraham says. We went through Yam Suf separately according to the Medrash, not all together. Diversity is part and parcel of being a Jew. And senseless hatred is sometimes my way or the highway. Either my way or no way. So the first thing I believe we need to do during these 3 weeks is to start saying to each other, diversity is a good thing. I'm reading an article now, just this morning, that's in the news right now, about how to learn Tanakh. What's the proper way of learning Bible? And as you know, this is now a debate in the last few days, simply because there is a notion of certain religious Zionist communities that say there's only one way to learn Tanakh. And that is to say that every single person in Tanakh was a tzaddik, and he never sinned. And even if it says it sinned, it didn't mean he sinned. And if you think you're on your level, on their level, you're an idiot.
This is going on now.
And other people believe, no, these were human beings, and they sinned, and we have to learn, just like they sinned, and they got out from it. David HaMelech sinned with Bathsheba, got out of it, but doing tshuva. We too. We can do tshuva and get out of our particular pickle.
You're saying this in the present discussion?
Present discussion. You can look at it right afterwards on the net. Says a certain rabbi, and I'm just going to read you part of his wonderful line, and that is the following. He uses terms in here that ultimately say it's my way or the highway. I'll give you an example. He says, quoting the Rav Pali, the Gemara says that the first generation were like angels, so therefore we're human beings. And if they were human beings, we're like a bunch of donkeys. We have to have reverence for the first generation. He quotes Rav Pali that says, that the following. If you understand that the first generations were like angels, then you are a human being. But if you say the first generations are human beings, continue the logic.
So we're left.
So you are
left.
A donkey. I won't even say the jack word. That's who you are. Now when you say that, you're basically saying it's my way or the highway. When he quotes people that interpret Tanakh in a literal sense, namely, he sinned, Yaakov didn't do everything right when raising his children, Yitzchak didn't do everything right when raising his children, David HaMelech had a certain sin, he says, this is a terrible monster to say that David HaMelech sinned.
Doesn't the Gemara itself mention?
The Gemara does say in one place that David, whoever says David sin is neino ela to'eh. That's not the only interpretation in Chazal. The truth of the matter is, when he writes this article, he's basically saying there's one way to go. My way. Any other way is no good. My way. There were other Mefarshim, Antanach, Rashbam, and others that basically were pshat oriented. Doesn't make a difference. If you think this way, you're a donkey. If you think this way, you're an animal. I can go on and on and on. The first thing I think we need to do is say diversity is beautiful. Now why am I saying this morning? A terrible incident happened in a park very close to us. Terrible incident. A gentleman in a frock had his ultra-religious children come over for a visit. And they went to the park. And as they were in the park, they were on the monkey bars or on the slide. A few kids said to them, You dirty Haredim, go back to your own park. You dirty Haredim, go back to your own park. Now, whether this story is exaggerated a bit, or whether this story is true, or whether this story happened or didn't happen, I don't know what. An element of truth, it must have in it. What happened? It's very simple. You live in a place where everyone looks alike, thinks alike, dresses alike, and you get someone that dresses a little different, you have no tolerance for that. Because diversity is considered a dirty word, not a clean word. So, dirty, Haredim, get out of here. Now, besides the anti-Semitic nuance in that statement, and besides other things, first and foremost, I believe that these kids were not educated that diversity is beautiful. And diversity is beautiful. One of the most beautiful things about Torah is machlokes. You can't give a good shiur without a machlokes. You have a machlokes, you got yourself a shiur. You don't have a machlokes, it's boring. And life would have been boring if we don't have part of our life to be a abyssal of debate.
Did adults say this, or was this reported by the kids?
It was reported by the kids to the people. A 13-year-old that was there heard it. So he's, as you know, in halacha, we so much on the 13-year-old.
I'm sorry.
A terrible thing happened in a religious Zionist community, and that is that a few ultra-religious kids came to the park, and the local kid said, "You dirty Haredim, why don't you go to your own park?" Secondly, gentlemen, I believe that in the 3 weeks, we need to work on another thing, and that is to stop having this one-way tolerance. One-way tolerance means we're very tolerant to the non-religious. When they come, we welcome them with open arms.
So they wouldn't
Beautiful. They wouldn't have said that. Gorgeous.
To perceive secularly.
When Goyim come, non-Jews come, Gentiles, we open arms, we have debate, we dialogue, it's beautiful. It's
they were having that in Hanok a few years ago, people living there, and the girls,
Haredim. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It happens in the Haredi community too, believe me. I'm not going to make them say no. Sure. But you don't know what happened in Beit Shemesh this year. Of course it happens in other places. So what? I believe that they were not educated, that diversity is not a dirty word. But the second thing is, I believe that we have a one-way tolerance to people that are very far from us. So they can be non-religious, and they could be secular, and they can even be Gentiles, and we have a lot of tolerance. Where does our problem begin? When someone is like you 85% of the way. Torah, mitzvah, Shabbat, Yontif, Taharat HaMishpacha, Kashrus, they're all there with you. There's a 15% difference between you. Dress code, army, secular endeavor, university, whatever you want to put in, that's the 15%. When that happens, we got no tolerance. If we have tolerance for the people that are far from us, we can have tolerance for the people that are 85% like us.
But that 15%, I think a lot of youth here, I'm not defending them at all, but I think that they can relate and live with and people in that other 85%. And this 15% is what separates that group from the entire lifestyle.
How do you interact with someone that ate treif in the morning, will eat treif in the evening, never once kept Shabbos, leads a secular lifestyle totally and utterly, and you have no problem talking, dialoguing, relating, inviting, tolerating, etc. But when someone is like you, all the way, except for 15%, you can't. So either we say tolerance is wrong, we don't tolerate anyone, or tolerance is good. And if tolerance is good, then it should be good for everyone. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. Number three, and this I throw out as a challenge. And this is a challenge for all of us. Perhaps the time has come for us to live in mixed communities instead of these isolated communities.
This was built as a mixed community, I was told. It just didn't work.
Whatever. Perhaps it's time that we live together. I'll tell you why. I believe that outside of New Square, Kiryas Joel, and places like that, Florida, ultimately there is no such thing as a community that's totally and utterly religious Zionist, or totally and utterly modern Orthodox, or totally and utterly ultra-Orthodox, totally only secular. We live together.
Each of them in general are...
Yeah, we live together. Now, what happens when you live together? Let's take a vibrant Jewish community. You basically get up in the morning, on Shabbos morning, you walk to shul. So you're wearing your Shabbos clothes, could be a kippah, a white shirt, etc. And on the same street, walking to another shtibel, he's a chassid with a strimer. And you say good Shabbos to each other. In the afternoon, because Shabbos is boring, you go to the park. Who's in the park? Everyone! She's wearing thick socks. She's not even wearing socks. When you interact on a daily level, I believe that we'll start having much more of a dialogue between us. What sense is hatred? But we live in isolated communities, and when we see the other, we don't know how to... All we know about the other is what we see in the news. Now, I hate to say this, but we're all naive. When we see the news, we really think it's the truth. I don't know why, but when we see things on the media, we believe this is the truth. This is emes la'amisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes, and the news is emes. Now, let's face it. If you don't go ahead, even a Rut Sheva is biased. If you don't go ahead and promote provocative, mind-boggling headlines, you won't sell a newspaper. Or today, you won't go on the website. You can't say, this morning there was a minyan. Minyan was at a good pace. Then there was a shir. The shir was interesting. Who's going to read that? You got to say, this morning there was a fight in shul. If there wasn't a fight in shul, then it's not in the news. Your minion this morning that was smooth will not be in the news unless there was a controversy. If there was a controversy, it made it. So what do we hear about the ultra-Orthodox? What do we hear about the secular? What do we hear about the religious Zionists? Controversy. Provocative, terrible things. That's the way you make the news. It would help if that is the situation. When you see someone that you never meet, you never interact with, what goes through your mind? And let's face it, psychologically we all go through something called the first impression. Have you heard of the first impression? Let me tell you what the first impression is. It is the most stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. It makes no sense, and we all do it. It's psychologically the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. We're sitting here. A gentleman comes into the door. We don't know him. We never met him. We never spoke to him. Logically, you should say, Shalom Aleichem, who are you? Where did you come from? Get to know the guy. And then you'll have a perception about it. Psychologically, what do? Comes in through the door. He walks in. Within 5 seconds, you already have a perception about him that any explanation I'll give you will be very difficult to crack the nut of your perception. So if a gentleman walks through the door, let's take a case, a big Bukharan kippah, pain is coming out of his ears. He's not wearing normal pants. He has to wear his ripped pants. His shirt is out. And he comes through the door. What's your immediate impression? Batayim. Right? He probably lives in some hill somewhere in a shack, and it's on Arab land, and he's doing it bedafka. Because that's the people that live in the Ma'achazin. That's what we heard on the news. Huh? Okay? He probably doesn't know a word of English, so we're going to talk to him in Hebrew. Right? It's not shayach that he knows English. An American doesn't dress like that. Anglo-Saxon doesn't dress like a schlump. No. So he comes in through the door, and we have a first impression about the gentleman. Try to crack the nut that he's really an English speaker, and he dresses this way because he thinks it's fashionable, and he wears his payas to get closer to God, and he wears a big kippah because he has no hair and a small kippah falls off. Nah, nothing. He is what he is. So, you come to see someone dressed not like you, and you start having all the perceptions you know about him. All the perceptions are from the media, unfortunately. The media usually takes provocative things about everyone, and you start putting that into this person in the park. While this person in the park, truthfully, is not what you think he is. But that's the way we all are. So during these 3 weeks, allow me to put out 3 challenges. Number one, let's stop having diversity as a dirty word. It's a clean word. Number two, let's start having this one-way tolerance towards those that are very far from us. Let's apply it to those that are close to us. And number three, I throw out the challenge. Perhaps it's fine to have mixed communities. L'chatchila. Maybe you have to talk to the contractors or whatnot. And number four, first impressions are difficult, but try not to be influenced by them. Yes.
I'm wondering if the adversity and living together...